The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Podcast One presents...
Ever play Lady of Spain again!
Not in my heart.
Dr. Hockey. Each week, Dr. Jay Calvert puts his med school education to the test, along with co-host Kevin Connolly.
Manage a hockey team? I can manage a hockey team.
Carving up data, analyzing trends, dissecting player performance, and prescribe just what NHL teams need. Your appointment is now, and the doctor is in. Here's Dr. Hockey.
This is Dr. Jay Calvert. I am a plastic surgeon who simply loves hockey. I am here today for a very big show with my esteemed co-host, Kevin Connolly.
Let's go, Islanders. Here we go.
And we also have sitting with us today, and happy to have him for the whole show, one of the co-owners of the Vegas Golden Knights, the 7-1 Knights, Joe Maloof.
Hello, how are you, doctor?
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Joe, we're so happy to have you here, and we're gonna interview you in a bit.
Okay.
We have some business that we're going to get through first about what's going on in the NHL, but I don't want to downplay the fact that your expansion team is 7-1.
Is that the best ever?
Yes.
I think so. Right?
Yeah, it's incredible. The city's just beside themselves. Everybody loves the Golden Knights now. It's amazing.
It's amazing, and
really
they're playing like their skates are on fire.
Yeah, a lot of resilience. You know, we've had some injuries, and then people step up and do their job, and it's been really a fun thing to watch.
Really also, too, Jay had mentioned before the season started, we were talking about sort of what the fan base was. So it looks like the fan base is like their Vegas residents, right? They're not people in from out of town. They're like... This is their new team.
Well, when my brother Gavin and I went to see Gary Bettman, he told us, if you do, first of all, you need an arena, which we told him MGM is building an arena. And then he said you have to have a fan base built with at least 10,000 season tickets.
Wow.
And we don't want the casinos to buy them in lots. We want them to be the locals there that live there. And that's what we set out to do and ended up getting 14,000 season tickets.
14,000?
Yeah.
And it's Las Vegas-based residents that are that are embracing this team.
Well, we have a great fan base.
Right.
You know, we're building our
building,
fan base.
Of course.
It's going to take time.
7-1 record. 7-1 record doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
7-1 record doesn't hurt. It's a hot ticket.
It really is. It's been fun.
They beat the Blackhawks last night.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's in the water that's coming into Las Vegas from the Colorado River?
Right.
Well, maybe you can answer that.
Well, I mean, listen, my question to you is, it must be fun. I know didn't claim to be like a hockey expert before, but learning about the game and learning from the owner's box, what's that like? It's an incredible sport, right?
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun, especially live. When you watch it live, it's spectacular, and how fast the athletes are on the ice, just the techniques, and I'm trying to learn something new once every day. Something
right.
new once a day.
There's a lot in hockey. It's different than basketball.
Oh, yeah. I grew up with basketball, so this is new to my brothers and I. But
you guys owned the
Houston Rockets
and then the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
And so you've been NBA guys, and now to transition to the – I mean, we're going to get to it. So
that's amazing.
Okay.
Let's do some hockey business first, and that'll just get you in the spirit of it, Joe. So we're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Please add anything that you want at any time where this is a
– Or any questions that you have. We'd be happy to answer them.
That's true.
Hockey questions.
If you have questions, if I say something or Kevin says something, you're like, I don't even know what that is, then I want to know about it. Because I think last week when I was coming from Duke, I said about this. It's such a funny piece, too, because I said something like, oh, you know, we did a dissection, we did this, that, and Kevin went, he kind of looked at me and said, and I could hear his look on his face over the Skype. He said, you know, I don't even know anything you said.
Yeah, he throws a bunch of big words. I have no clue. But
I went to the dentist today, and it was terrible. I was just like, that's probably what it just sounds like. Bleep, blop, blar every time we're talking like that.
I'm like, what exactly was it that you did? And nobody still understands what it was that you're talking.
And that's
about.
Totally cool. So let's get through some of the things that we do here on Dr. Hockey. And what we'll do is we'll do a week summary of what's happened in the NHL very quick. We're going to get to a team spotlight, and this week we're going to not only is the team spotlight and the player spotlight from the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it's actually a double player spotlight. Initially, I wanted to just talk about Nikita Kucherov because he's on fire,
right?
But he's on fire with Steven Stamkos, and I think in our one of our preseason episodes, we talked about the Tampa Bay Lightning as I said my number two favorite team in the East, but you know maybe they're number three or four now. But
no state tax.
Yeah, I mean they're killing it. They're on fire.
I mean I hate to say it, but it's true, and I'm sure it's the same thing. And it's obviously I think it's the same thing in Las Vegas. It's easier to keep guys there. I mean, let's face it, right? I mean, it's easier to keep guys when you're looking at a $100 million deal and you're not paying state tax. Like, yeah, why not play in Tampa?
That's right.
Well, why not?
They've got
why not play for the Panthers? You know what I mean? It's great. It's smart business.
Somehow the communist wealth of Pennsylvania seems to keep their players. Yeah. I'm not sure how that happens because I lived in Pittsburgh for 7 years and there was a $10 head tax.
Yeah,
you got taxed $10.
It's crazy. What they do to you is insane. So you know, I think that's why it was easy to keep Stamkos, to keep all those guys because they save so much money. It's a big difference.
So we'll do our player and team spotlight, and then we're gonna go through the history of the Golden Knights with Joe and what's going on there, and then we'll come back around for. We're only going to look at one fight this week because. It was an amazing fight. It was Kevin Bieksa on Gudas. I want to go through it. And we'll play it and listen to it. But at the same time, from a player and patient safety standpoint, it concerned me.
Jay is the man of medicine, but this guy loves hockey fights. You love hockey fights as much as anybody. You love hockey fights as much as anybody that I know.
I do.
But you're also concerned. You don't believe that the fighting is what hurts the players.
I think the fighting makes business for me, and I'm always looking for some busted up noses. Right. So, I think the fighting is part of the game.
But the concussions come from hitting the boards and slamming against the boards.
I don't think the fighting's a problem, although this Gudas fight is unique. This was something, and I've seen Kevin Bieksa do some damage, and especially he doesn't like the Flyers.
Yeah.
He really doesn't. For some reason, you know, Bieksa fights a lot, but... It's a must-have for him with the Flyers. I don't know why.
People get up for the Flyers games. A lot of people...
Totally.
You know what I mean? Flyers are the Broad Street bullies. You know, doesn't want to beat the Flyers.
It was the Pittsburgh Flyers game that got my wife into hockey when I was a resident. I couldn't make it, and I think I talked about it, but it was a home in the igloo, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia game that was 6-5 in overtime, and she's hooked for life after that.
So. Yeah, it's... Joe, have you seen any fights yet?
I haven't.
It's cut down. It's a great deal, even compared to a few years ago. But once a good one happens,
I haven't seen one.
I think the Knights have only really had one big official fight. So, I forget who it was, but it was over pretty quick.
Yeah,
so they're in the mood to win, evidently, instead of fight.
Exactly.
So. Well, let's go through the week because there were some big games, and just to tee off, I thought the Kings in Columbus. Against the Blue Jackets, the Kings 6, Blue Jackets 4, Kopitar with 2 goals, Brown with a goal, Muzzin with a goal, the Kings with a fourth win in a streak that was only broken in Toronto on Monday night. What? And you mentioned Milano.
Sonny Milano, Peak of Long Island.
That's right, you mentioned
the Long Island boys.
And he scored in that game for the Jackets, though it wasn't enough.
Good for him.
Great game. Jackets look like they're having a bit of a rough start, but the Kings are not.
Kings are 7-1.
They look amazing.
Right there with the Golden Knights.
They look great. I'm very impressed with the Kings this year. I don't know what they did.
They rested, Jay. I'm telling you. There's something to it.
It is. I mean, because they look awesome.
Do they have basically the same team as they did last year?
They really do.
They keep the same key. You know, they have players. That same core. Kopitar, Doughty, you know, Dustin Brown. Jonathan Quick, they got the core, and they fill in, you know, Tyler Toffoli, they fill in the pieces around. But as long as that core stays the same, that'd be my advice too. You get your guys and you build around your core of five or six guys.
They look great.
Yeah,
they did fire the whole front office.
Who, Columbus?
No, the Kings. That's the only thing they changed.
Peculiar.
That's the only thing they changed.
Well, the only thing they changed, they fired the general manager and the coach. It's
they fired everybody.
That's a big. That's a big
change.
Yes. Yeah, that's more than a little bit of a change. That's a massive overhaul. And for a group of guys, I mean, I don't know obviously the inside of it, but they were pretty successful as a group, right? Lombardi and Sutter weren't.
I mean, they were, but
and they got two Stanley Cups. Never won a Stanley Cup before. Now they got two and. You know, 5 years or whatever it is, and then they fire everybody after a bad season. But at least it seems to be paying off. So
they definitely made some moves. Predators at the Garden with the Rangers. This was the Rangers' second win only. I thought that if the Rangers lost this game to the Predators, that Vigneault would be looking at the breadline. I did not think that he could get through that weekend with another loss, and he won. They beat the Predators. Fast, Kreider, Hayes. Vesey scored for the Rangers. Ekholm and Forsberg for the Predators. The Predators are struggling a little bit too, but they'll come back around, I'm sure.
They're tired.
They're beat. Yeah, they are beat.
It's a lot of hockey.
It's a ton of hockey.
Very little rest.
No, it's true. But I was happy to see the Rangers win that game. It's weird. They made all those big moves with and bringing in Shattenkirk and they dealt away some players. I think they were gumming it up, but. It has not gelled.
As hard as this is for me to say, I'm not ready to write the Rangers off just yet.
No, definitely not.
They'll make a run. They'll get hot. They just got to get hot soon.
Well, my brother Mark and I were talking about it, and you know the origin of this podcast is really that my brother and I for 20 years have kind of done this podcast. We have a call. He lives in Florida, and his take on it was, Jay, until they played 10 to 15 games, there's nothing to talk about. People are getting there. They just there's nothing to say. They're trying to find their way. Mm-hmm. You know, certain teams are playing well. They're not going to do well over time. Certain teams are playing poorly. They're going to gel and come through it. You know, look where Calgary Flames were, like at the bottom of the wild card list all last season until January. Boom, they're in the playoffs.
There's nothing to talk about until at least 10, 15 games.
There you go. And that's, again, why we don't mention the standings, because it don't mean anything right now. Leafs and the Senators. This was an awesome game. What's notable about this is that I can see that nobody wants to have to guard Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, did you see that about Doughty and Dustin Brown? They were arguing about who was going to cover him on the they have him on video, like arguing about who was going to cover him.
Well, they should argue about it. It's like, who's going to stop this guy? Yeah. He's so good.
Yeah.
Karlsson he's a miracle worker. We're talking about Erik Karlsson of the Ottawa Senators, who in our first three podcasts,
they removed a piece of his ankle. We thought he was done for the year.
We thought he was finished.
Okay.
And then he comes back and he's scoring like nothing ever happened.
You're going to learn this name quick, Joe. Okay. Erik Karlsson.
All right.
When he comes to town.
He's coming for you.
He's so good. He's just, there are certain players that you just love watching, and he is an exciting player. And then the Sharks went back to the Islanders.
Yes, they lost that game badly, didn't they?
They sure did. You want to tell us about that, Kevin?
Listen, the Islanders are Tavares is starting to heat up. He had a hat trick.
Was there a hat trick last night?
There was a hat trick last night. That was pretty nice. And there was also a stat that it was his seventh hat trick of his career. He's been in the league since 2009 they drafted him, so 8 years. Mike Bossy played for the Islanders for 9 years. And had 39 hat tricks.
Mike Bossy was the man.
39 hat tricks. Tavares is one of the greatest players in the world. He's got seven.
I mean, Mike Bossy, it just tells you.
The game has changed a lot, obviously.
Yes. What happened with the game? Why did it?
Well, the players got faster. Mm-hmm. Goalies got bigger. You know, I think, you know, the way these guys condition themselves. Yeah. Like Mike Bossy said in an interview, like, in those days, you show up at the arena, you have two cups of black coffee. And a couple cigarettes, and you were out at the bar the night before, and then you show up at the arena, you score a few goals, and then you go back out, you know. And nowadays, you know, these guys, they just their conditioning is the way they take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Bossy said, you know, now these guys are, you know, they're drinking protein shakes, and you know, they're just on a year long regimen. So I think the athleticism is just different.
How long can they go, a hockey player, normally? Can they get into their mid-30s, or is that...
Yeah, I think you can get, you know, I mean, like anything else, is staying healthy, but it's for sure a young man's game. I mean, you know, Connor McDavid and, you know, Austin Matthews, these guys are kids, and, You know, it's funny. Sidney Crosby's the old man in the bunch now at a whopping 31 years old or whatever.
No, and that's funny, isn't it? He's been playing since he's 18.
He's 31 years old. He hasn't even started his life yet. You know what I mean? He hasn't even started
his life.
Yeah.
I mean, they skate from the time they're, you know, 4 years old, 3 years old, and they're bred for this kind of work.
Well, I'm sure too, Joe. Like in basketball, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, we come to know these guys and they haven't, they retire and they haven't started their lives yet.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. Derek Jeter just started his life.
Yeah.
Like a year ago.
Right.
I mean, Kobe Bryant just started his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As they send those pictures online of Kobe Bryant that he's fat. It's like Kobe Bryant took a couple weeks off. Give the guy a break. You know?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, and then, Oilers and the Penguins were last night. It was an epic battle I was looking forward to. I put the video on Instagram. Our Instagram is Dr. Hockey 90210. And the video showed at the beginning of the game, it was an overhead shot of McDavid and Crosby coming into the center. And it was like clearly going to be an epic
battle.
They're
probably best friends.
It was awesome.
They probably know each other for a thousand years. I'm sure.
They still want to win.
Of course they want to win, but Crosby probably, you know, was like, McDavid's probably met him, you know, there's probably pictures of the two of them, like, you know, when
totally.
With Sidney Crosby with his arm around a young Connor McDavid. You know?
I'm sure
of it. It's amazing, yeah.
Well, they had a great game, and it was a 2-1 overtime win, so it was hard fought. You know, McDavid scored, and then
he's getting closer to that 100-point mark.
Not really. I love Mastros. So
you do. We have a Mastros bet going. Do you know Connor McDavid? Do you know this kid? He's like the guy.
Right.
And Jay thinks that the NHL has his number and that he's gonna.
How old is he?
21.
21. That's what I thought. I knew he was young. But I didn't know he was that young.
Yeah, guy just started drinking legally.
I was at the game. He turned 21.
Unbelievable.
He scored like 3 goals against the Ducks.
Hopefully, he doesn't get married. He needs to be single for a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that. Yeah,
that's right.
At 21 to be
Don't lock anything down.
No, that's too
if you're listening, please be single for everybody.
That's right.
So there are 82 games. This is my reasoning. See, Kevin believes that Connor McDavid will have a 100-point or better season.
Wow.
And I believe that he will have a less than 100-point season.
Mm-hmm.
Our bet is for Mastro's dinner, which is reasonable, and that's fine.
Well, everybody wins. It's just a matter of who gets stuck with the check.
That's
right?
True. But you did throw in that you would do a to-go steak as well. So it got a little bigger.
Okay.
But the reality is that for him to get to 100 points, he's got to be doing a point a game.
Yeah.
And he's not quite doing that right now.
Okay,
I'm just saying. So he's got to do more than a point a game because it's 100 games. So we'll see. I think he's going to have a great season. He looks great.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, his team is not gelling the way that I think that they would like to. The Oilers are a fantastic outfit. I think if they have a chance to win the Stanley Cup, it is this year.
Mm.
If they have a chance to win it, it's this year. Because and Kevin and I talked about it, that they run into salary cap troubles over the next year. It's going to hit them. Like it hit the Kings. The Kings are making it work, but all of a sudden you can't move players.
Daryl Katz is...
It's hard.
He's a competitive dude, and he's got big bucks.
He'll make it happen.
He'll make it work.
If they're going to get a cup, this is the year.
He's a smart guy.
I love watching the Oilers. They are awesome, an awesome team to play. So, anyway, I do want to spotlight the Tampa Bay Lightning very quickly, and then I do want to talk about Kucherov and Stamkos coming out of the gates. This team beat Washington. They beat Pittsburgh twice. They beat the Blue Jackets in Columbus. They beat St. Louis. Their losses are only to Florida and New Jersey. By the way, Florida looks great. They played the Penguins Friday night like it was their Stanley Cup. They lost 4-3. It was an awesome showing by Florida. They look really great.
Stamkos has 20 points already.
Yes, he does.
Good Lord.
And so... I think their goaltending is working. They've got Budaj and Vasilevsky. I thought Budaj is what kept the Kings alive last year until they got rid of him to the Lightning. When Quick came back, I thought they should have had Quick and Budaj, but they didn't do that for some contract issues. Mm-hmm. So now the Lightning have these great goalies, and they've got guys who are lighting it up with the goals and with the assists. I mean, Stamkos and Kucherov,
Stamkos is another one. He's 25 years old or 26 years old or something ridiculous.
He's amazing. The guy was last year when I saw him.
Hopefully, he's not married either.
I know that you're concerned about that, and
these guys just need to live a little.
You got to keep your focus.
I get it. You can do both. You can be single and be focused.
You know, I don't know. I think when you're on a run like this, you want to be in it. But you know, it's not that they're just 25 years old. I mean, getting married that young is
Have girlfriends. They should be like a single.
You think they should be like hockey monks?
Yes.
They should, when they're finished, they should go to the temple. Yeah. They should sit in lotus position, puck on each leg, and then holding two hockey sticks.
I think having a little fun, taking a little pressure off the guys is good for the game. Good for their game.
There are some yoga pants. By the way, we are today not in the Podcast One main studio. We are in the Podcast One satellite studio, which is at the Russell Simmons
Tantris Yoga
Club.
I love it because it's even closer to my house than the other studio. this is good.
It's nice. This is beautiful.
It's very
really,
cool.
Really nice.
And he's put together this amazing place where we're doing this podcast. But there are some yoga pants out there that I think we probably got to have them because right. They really are unique. I never thought to look like a genie to do yoga, but if you want to, I'm telling you, they're right out here. They're actually genie shorts, which are unique.
I will not be wearing those.
I'm probably going to wear them for the next podcast. Oh, I'm just going to warn you.
Oh, boy.
And that's how it goes because, you know, I wear these scrubs, but
I'm going to bring in my breast implant.
There you go. It's time. So,
by the way, I got called out on the breast implant. Somebody made a comment. I'm like, what, you know? And then I was trying to explain it, and it just sounded weird. So I just,
you know, it's hard. You know, like
Jay gave me a breast implant,
like an actual implant. You know, and I'm surprised. I should have brought one for you as well. You know,
all of our guests should get breast implants.
And I'm going to see if I can get the Dr. Hockey logo on them.
And I'm you're telling me that's a good idea. And we also we're going to get a big hockey player in here, and I want to see that thing hold up to a big right hand from an NHL enforcer.
No, we need to take those
implants. I'm saying that an NHL enforcer punches that breast implant, it explodes. Jay says, no way.
That's going to be a good one.
That's a good one.
I think if we're here, we could probably get him out here doing like a slap shot across Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And that would be something else. That building has a lot of windows, but that's okay. I don't know that the implant would go through the window.
I it's going to break. My money's on that it breaks. It could be another Mastro's dinner.
No chance.
We'll see. I will pick the fight.
All right. There's a Mastro's dinner on the ability to bust an implant. I got it. Anyway.
Jay said, no, we test these things with elephants.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Listen, you don't know what people are going to do once they've acquired their implants. You have to be ready for anything.
It's got to be able to take some punishment.
It does. It's got to.
Joe, just so you know, I always like to take a few minutes out of the podcast and ask Jay some questions about implants.
We can talk about anything plastic surgery. Anything plastic surgery, by the way.
Okay.
My wife made another comment, which we should all know about, that she said, there are obviously no women listening to your podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
She goes, this is such a testosterone-laden podcast. Like, I'm really embarrassed for you. And I said, you know, I think we should be proud.
We should have her in. We'll have her in.
She's a hockey.
Yeah, she loves hockey. She loves hockey.
She was. She was there. She was at the opening game. She's going crazy. Uh-huh.
You know what's funny about girls? It's usually a fight or a live experience at a game that gets girls.
Yeah.
Like, I've taken girls to hockey games, and I've never been to hockey. It's boring. They go to one game, and they're, like, hooked, whether it's a fight or just the intensity of watching the game live. The game is so fast.
It's awesome.
It's so fast.
And there's a new health study that shows that people who watch hockey games, some people can't take it. It can induce a heart attack. It can induce a health condition because their adrenaline is so high watching the game.
Who did that study? Was that your study?
No, it was not my study. This was independently done by some other medical group, and it was reported on ESPN that hockey games are stress-inducing
really?
For people that watch them. Like, their blood pressure goes up, their heart rate goes up, and for the entire time they're there because it's so stressful to them.
Now,
loud in those arenas. I've never heard anything like it.
Now, I know it's loud in your arena.
When you guys were on the Kings, you guys were front and center. You guys like to be on the floor. Like, I personally, I like to watch games I like to be on the glass. I like to be right there. Oh, yeah. Some people don't like it. Or when you go to a game, are you in the box? Are you in the seats? Do you
well, I sit up. I sit up a little higher so I can
see the whole game.
Try to learn the game a little right. bit.
It's different but than my basketball.
Brother, yeah, it's a lot different. Yeah. But my brother sits on the glass. He loves the glass.
Right.
And our suite's two down from the majority owner, Bill Foley, who's a great guy. And he's our partner, and we're right there next to each other, right. So it's a lot of fun.
I mean, the glass seats are great, but, if you actually want to learn the game, up higher is where you see the plays develop.
Listen, yes. 10, 15 rows up on the red line is the best seats in the house. But an experience.
How come people say the corners are better? A lot of people
do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Because theoretically, you can see them setting up the play better.
From how high
from
up?
Like if you're like back in a corner, you can up in a corner, you can actually see them setting up. Okay. That was always my understanding of it.
Okay.
Like you're watching the game, you can see them setting up in the zone and like sort of going into the opponent's zone.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I like the corners too. I pretty much like anywhere in the arena. Right. I love hockey. My brother and I, when we were in Pittsburgh, we bought the cheapest seats in the house, which were actually in a club box at the top of the igloo, like at the very, very top. They were so cheap. But when we'd watch up there, all of a sudden, like, I learned how the game developed. Like, that's where I got an understanding.
You see them setting up the plays.
Absolutely. Right. You could see you saw Mario go to the open space, and you were just like, dude, like, there's nobody by him. All of a sudden, he's got the puck, and it's a slam dunk. So it's fun to watch up high, but there's nothing like being – the glass, to me, is also my favorite spot.
Did you see the thing about Mario Lemieux? I guess they're doing hockey's greatest moments, and it's, of course, down to Gretzky and Lemieux, that Mario Lemieux, this is crazy, scored 5 goals in 1 game 5 different ways. Can you name the 5 ways?
Check. No, but let me see. I guess he even strength, penalty shot, overtime goal, and...
You actually got one that... Yeah, so it's even strength,
right?
Penalty kill, power play, penalty shot, empty netter.
Empty netter. There you go.
Empty
5 goals, 5 different ways. That's pretty tough to top. That's a good night at the office.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never forget when he came back to play as an owner of the team. I mean, I was, it was like, I think it was December 27th, and I forget what year, but it was, I remember because I was in Florida with my family having like dinner or something, but right at Christmas Eve, and they said, Mario's playing on Thursday, and my brother and I were like, see you there. Boom.
Ron Burkle actually told me that story, and it's really incredible. Imagine being an owner and sitting in the owner's box and like just going, God damn it, you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. You know what? Get my uniform ready. I'm coming back. Right. And not only that, not only going to come back, I'm going to lead the league in goals when I come back.
What year was that when he came back?
I guess it was probably 99.
I think it was 99.
98, 99. But like 99. To get frustrated and like... And to be kind of annoyed with what you're watching and then literally walk into the locker room, get dressed in like a week's notice, and then go out and be the best player in the world instantly in a day.
You ought to direct a movie
incredible.
About that.
Yeah,
you'd be
no
good
kidding,
at that.
Right? No kidding. Yeah.
Joe, we're going to need a little more performance for you. Isn't enough. You got your shirt on. We get it. But like,
those are cool. Those are cool jerseys. The Golden Knights jerseys.
Oh, he's got the Fleury.
I told you. What I tell you?
That's right.
Fleury's the marquee player.
Fleury is the guy.
You know, it's funny too. We talked about this before. Whenever an expansion team comes in, it takes a second to adjust to the uniform, right? I mean, I remember the Minnesota Wild and the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's like, wow. But it seems like the Golden Knights, that it's settling in. It's settling in nicely. Maybe it's because the 7-1.
Yeah,
it looks awesome.
It looks good,
and you've got to get to the T-Mobile Arena for a game. It was insane
and
fun.
I'm sure those jerseys are huge sellers, right?
Yeah,
love the colors.
Really can't get them. They're on back order now.
Right,
they've sold so many of them. It's amazing what the fan reaction's been.
Yeah,
I can't get over it.
Well, I mean, is it what you expected? Or
well, to come out 7-1, that's really. And especially after the tragedy,
right.
It's brought the whole city together.
Right.
Everybody's rallied behind this team. The players are resilient. We've lost, I don't know how many, to injuries.
It's been
tough. Our goalies, we were on our third string goalie, and we won. So players are stepping up.
Yeah.
Which is what they get paid to do, and it's a nice thing to see.
Who's really responsible for the success of this team in your eyys? You guys are sitting there. You've put big money behind this operation. when you start looking around at all the people that have made it successful, which I'm sure there are many, mm-hmm. who really brought the team together that has them playing the way they are?
Well, of course, Bill Foley's the majority owner. He's a great guy. He's put the money into the team, into the salaries. And then really, he made a great decision on McAfee, the GM.
McPhee,
the GM, and then our coach. They've put it all together. And then one thing that I learned in the NBA and that we've always been steadfast about is that you have to have the greatest scouts. You have to be able to find the talent. And you can't pay your GM enough. You can't pay your scouts enough. They're the most important part of your whole organization. And then it goes to the coach. But if you don't have the players, you know, it's... As you know, I'm not telling you.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true, right? I mean, that's, you know, and players don't get fired. Coaches do.
That's right.
Yeah.
The players do the best they can. Yeah.
But you're only as good as
a lot of money on scouting. I know that. And he's got a lot of scouts all over the world.
They're everywhere now. It's in Eastern Europe. I mean, they're just endless.
I think that's one of the main reasons for us. Early success.
I think McPhee was a big part of it too, and Gallant is just doing an amazing job getting the most out of these players. They look like they've been playing together.
Where is the Golden Knights farm system based at? Where is their
Chicago.
Isn't it strange how the minor league teams are like and so like
it's
why
so
would
weird.
The Vegas Golden Knights farm team be in Chicago?
I don't know.
Right? Isn't it
probably
strange?
Have to ask Foley about that one.
It's that way with a lot of teams.
Well, the Kings too. Their guys are mm-hmm. like they're it's just far away. They're in other states. It's peculiar.
Interesting fact: the two teams who've won the most Stanley Cups in the last decade, the Penguins and the Chicago Blackhawks, both travel with their team physician. The other teams use the team physician on site. The Penguins and the Blackhawks bring their own.
Joe, you know what it sounds like.
Yeah. I do need a job.
It sounds like Jay. Sounds like Jay's campaigning.
Where are we going with this?
Sounds like Jay's campaigning, FYI.
So that's an interesting fact. The other interesting fact is that many of the teams who have established their farm teams in a close proximity have an easy time sending players up and back to be able to draw from their farm teams. The Ducks and the San Diego Gulls are a perfect example. The Penguins and the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, they go back and forth across the state, and they teach the same system at each team. So the Penguins and the Baby Penguins are playing exactly the same systems. When something changes at the Big House, mm-hmm. it changes in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Anaheim and with San Diego. And that's not the same for many of the other teams. So there are certain habits that you see that result in great success over time. Now, why you have a farm team in Chicago and Vegas? Maybe Chicago's not that far from Vegas because of the flights. But it is kind of far from Vegas. It's a four-hour flight. It's not a drive. San Diego and Anaheim? It's a drive.
You know, as a fan, and, you know, I think in basketball, you know, you draft a guy and you expect, you know, Lonzo Ball, right? And this guy was, you draft him and you expect him to be an all-star that year. Basketball is that way. But baseball and hockey, like, as a fan, it's tough. You know, you go to the draft, your team picks eighth, and they pick a guy that you're not going to see for 5 years.
That's true. Yeah, it's very different.
But it is the key to success. These farm systems, these guys that are 18 years old and drafted, mm-hmm. and you're not going to see them, or you probably won't even know many of their names for the next 5 years, but they're the future of your franchise.
You're 100% right. Absolutely. That's the way it works. You have to have the best farm system, the best scouts, and spend the money, invest the money into the scouting, and bring the best players.
Would you consider, we've talked about Vegas being, talked about the ultimate home ice advantage. Do you feel that?
I don't know.
I mean, do they do bed checks on? Because your guys are going to be okay because they're going to live there. They're used to it. But what happens when, you know, the Columbus Blue Jackets are in town?
Well, and they're going to the Wild Boys want to go out. Yeah, they're going to have a little fun probably. You know, that's what Vegas is all about.
That's what Vegas is all about.
That is an ultimate home ice advantage because you could send people to the airport and be like, hey, what are you guys doing tonight?
And also, too, it's like you're literally walking through the casino. And again, it's going to come down to, listen, if Sidney Crosby wants to play a little blackjack, then it's too freaking bad. He's playing blackjack, and that's all there is to it. Yeah,
that's right, and it's right there in front of you.
But if you're on the cusp and they're worried about your behavior and you're caught at the blackjack table, you know, eventually somebody's going to lose their job in playing in Las Vegas.
Somebody's
going to get sent down to the minors because of their trip out to Vegas. It's good.
You never know, but it's just like, well, really, when you look at it, there's so many casinos now in the country. Atlantic City, New Jersey, New York.
Like Vegas.
It's not Vegas, Joe.
You know that, Joe.
Yeah, I know that.
That's a good try, but
that's a good try.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you live there and you play there, you're just conditioned to not. It's your job, but you know when you're in town, what's going to happen is they're going to not spend the night.
Yeah, they'll fly in the morning.
Fly them out.
Well, some of the teams have said that they're going to experiment with that fly in. And fly out.
Just getting them out.
Yeah, but basically, I think they're grown men. They're professionals. They know that their livelihood depends on their on how well they execute on the ice.
They're 18 years old, Joe.
Yeah, I know. There's some of that. They're very young.
Well, they're not even allowed to be in the casino at 18 years old. That's another thing.
They're waiting for their birthday to get into the casino. Like it's different. I mean, it is a factor. Different.
Yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so far so good.
Yeah, well, that's but I think it's
7-1.
Home ice advantage is big, and I think it's a good.
Is it big in hockey like the NBA?
Absolutely.
Home ice is that big?
Yeah, I mean, good teams win on the road, right? To win a championship, you got to win on the road, no matter what sport it is, you have to win on the road. But I think that especially in those arenas where they're. No, they're just so loud. I mean, it's crazy. Like
ours is really loud.
Yeah, I would
imagine. Awesome.
It's loud.
I mean, if you're in Vegas, get to a game.
Yes, come to a game. You'll have a ball.
It is nuts, really and you guys have taken some of the best pieces of Vegas and put it into the show. I mean, first of all, the rules of the game video with Carrot Top was pretty funny. And the guys who call the game, they had some really good jokes. They did really well with it. It's really fun. It's a good use of Carrot Top. I think he did a good job with it. And then they have all the sort of the, they brought O out for the first period. I don't know if they're going to do that
Kevin
every game.
Would be a big star. Come out. We'd love to have Kevin.
I'd love to come out to a game.
Come out to a game. We'll get you in the suite.
I love it.
And the doctor, of course, he's already been there.
I've been there, and I'll go back. I mean, that's for sure.
He was very excited.
It would be great to have you. It would be an honor to have you.
That's the other thing, too. Like, I would say, obviously I'm a big Islander fan, but I'm a huge hockey fan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm an Islander fan. Season tickets
to
the Kings.
Well, maybe when the Islanders play, you can come out.
For sure. For sure.
We'll go out to dinner.
Yeah, we have our favorites.
Have a little fun.
Yeah, exactly.
We could do that. Yeah, we are hockey fans, and that's the key. I mean, we're not just, here to push for our teams. We love our teams, but we also just love to watch hockey.
Love the game.
There were 12 games or something on last night. I was all over all of them. It was really fun.
Do you know that we gave the Maloof brothers the first shout out in Entourage, the pilot of Entourage in 2004?
No, really?
Yeah. We did a thing where they flew us out to Vegas. They were flying us out to Vegas.
We need that clip.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because you and Mark Wahlberg are old buddies, right?
He knows my brother Gavin pretty well. They're good friends. And Philip, my youngest brother, they're all friends. And great guy.
Yeah,
good guys. We're all great guys.
It's funny. We would do the episodes. Yeah, the Maloofs are flying us out to Vegas.
You're doing the Gotti film now?
Yeah, I'm doing the Gotti movie.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm alive, which is a good start.
When does it come out?
It's going to come out in December, a limited release, and then it'll come out wide earlier.
Boy, you got a lot of people very anxious to see that.
Yeah.
Especially me. I'd love to see it.
No, it's fun, and Travolta's amazing. It's just, whenever you're making a movie about real people that are alive, never mind the mafia, it's dicey, and not to say that I ever felt like I was in danger, but it's.
But you are.
Who wrote the script?
A guy named Lem Dobbs wrote the script. He wrote the score, and he works for Soderbergh. He's good, but no, you're not. But it's not the obvious guys. It's not like the Gottis are great. It's the other characters around that you worry about. You know what I mean? People don't like that.
No, they don't. They don't like to be misrepresented.
Yes, exactly. That's so hopefully we represented everybody properly. We'll see.
Well, that's exciting. Exciting.
Yeah. That's going to be a great movie. And you got an amazing cast for that film. I mean, it's like.
Who else is in it?
John Travolta and Kelly Preston, his wife life, plays. Yeah. And Stacey Keach. It's great. I came on board. They were all sort of on. So I kind of got lucky. I kind of stepped into that. So.
Okay, great.
You didn't get lucky. That's a great job for you. That's very awesome. So, Joe, tell us a little bit more about the future for the Golden Knights this year. I mean, it is a. You've had an amazing opening, but what do you have planned? I mean, how are you guys sitting there, you know, at the team meeting, you know, on a Friday morning, going like, okay, we're 7-1.
Well, actually, you know, I'm not actually involved in that part of the business and with the player decisions or anything like that. But I think the main thing that we want to get accomplished this year, and of course, Bill Foley and our family, the Maloof family. We want to establish a lot of work with the kids, and we want to establish rinks throughout the city, build rinks throughout the city, get the fan base with the young kids. It always starts with them, and they've done an excellent job with that in Anaheim and Phoenix. They've done a good job lately of building the base with the kids.
So the kids are playing hockey, and then they want to go see the games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And they're your future season ticket holders.
They sure are.
And they buy the jerseys. They're the future of the club. To answer your question on a big picture, is build the fan base so that, you know, when our arena's there, we got 9 out of 10 people are Golden Knights fans.
Yes.
And not the other way around. There's a lot of, like last night, there was a lot of Hawk fans there. I mean, half the arena was Hawk fans.
I bet. That's sort of inevitable, though. I mean, I feel like that happens in L.A. a lot, too. So many people are transplants.
Yeah.
That everyone go to see, you know, I go to see the Islanders.
And they want to come out here. They make it a little mini vacation. Come out to Las Vegas, see a couple games.
Excuse. We're going to see the Blackhawks in Vegas, and we're going to make a week. We're going to make a 4-day weekend out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that happens in a lot of arenas. I remember in Pittsburgh, the freaking Road Warriors from Detroit.
Yeah,
I mean, there was a Detroit. You know, Fedorov score a goal, the place went insane, like it was the Joe Louis Arena, and they were very effective.
Florida is that way as well. I mean, you have people that retire down there from the East Coast, so when, you know, the Rangers are in town to play Tampa Bay, there's a lot of Ranger fans.
Yeah. Well, you got to get your fan base up.
It's part of the game.
Are you having a blast learning about, like you said, you try to learn one thing?
I try to learn something new every day.
Right, like one little thing, like icing and...
Well, the first game, the doctor came and we sat up in the suite and he pointed out various things in the game and to watch the play develop from up. And so it's a lot of fun that way. But I absolutely know nothing about hockey throughout the years. I really wish I did. I never followed the game.
You're going to have a blast learning about it from the owner's box.
Yeah, it's so fun right now. Of course, you know, with the record that we have, that helps, but. We have a great organization. It's a lot of fun. The fans are behind it. You know, the city's rallied, especially after the problems that we had, with the tragedy. But it's been great. It's been soothing for the fans. It gives them something, or the city, it gives them something else to think about. But than what happened a couple of weeks ago. But it's brought the whole city together. We've never had our own team. You know, we've always had to root for other teams, and we've never really been able to rally behind. You know, a Vegas team, which is something that we always knew, Gavin and I, for many years, that a team in Las Vegas would work.
Like a true homegrown, the Raiders are coming from L.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
yeah.
So you're essentially going to have a lot of L.A., whatever it is, Vegas, Golden Knights.
Well, the Raiders will be good for in my opinion. You know, different owners have different opinions, but I think the Raiders will be good for the city of Las Vegas. It's going to be huge.
Right.
It's going to going to be one of their storied franchises, I think, in the next 10 years because it's the entertainment capital of the world outside of Hollywood and, you know, in other ways. But people love Las Vegas. They come there. It's it's a great place to have fun for a few days and then go back home and know that you...
As long as I don't have to watch the Raiders play on a baseball field. In this day and age, are you kidding me?
I hate that.
In this
that.
Day and age, these guys got to get tackled at second base? I mean, I get it in, the 70s or whatever, but come on.
That's the worst.
Can't they just whatever they turn ice into a basketball court. They turn it back to hockey. They turn it there. They can't get rid of the infield.
I hate that. It is such a pet peeve. I can't even stand watching.
That'll be the right. I don't watch it. But now it'll be over, right? Because no way they do that in Vegas.
Mark Davis, he's a good friend of ours throughout the years, and you know he tried everything he could to get something done in Oakland. It just wasn't going to happen. You know,
so, it's tough. Yeah, it's not just building arenas.
It's a tough situation.
Yeah.
It's really tough. You know, we know what it's all about. So what you really have to do is just to embrace him now in Vegas, and hopefully things will go well for him.
It's going to go very well.
It's good for Vegas.
Are you kidding me? Having a football team, an NFL football team. Although I do feel like the best use of football stadiums is for an outdoor hockey game. I really do. I think.
Would they be able to do that? Would you guys be able to? Could you do the Winter Classic in Vegas? Is that possible?
Well, we asked him. We asked Bettman about that. And he didn't say no.
Well, I just wonder. Well, it would make sense. I mean, it would make total sense. I'm just wondering about the logistics of it.
Got to have a roof, and they will definitely have a roof.
You can't have a roof, or it's not the outdoor. The whole point is that's the.
Well, let's see.
It's kind of an outdoor
in January,
classic.
January, actually,
it's like a semi-outdoor classic.
It's sort of like
the indoor outdoor classic.
Well, what do you want to? Actually, in January, it can get 40.
At least enough to keep the ice.
Yeah,
that's true. If it's 40 degrees.
40, 45 probably during the day. At night, it can get down there.
And land a rover at 7 p.m.
You can land a rover on Mars. You can build an ice rink in Vegas. Come on. And you don't have to play.
I want a roof.
You don't play football in a baseball field.
Have you felt this weather here? It's been 1,000 degrees here. Reminds me of Dubai.
I wear this hockey jersey.
Yeah, I know.
Out of respect for you two guys.
You're going to lose 2 pounds just doing this podcast.
I am.
What a great guy.
He's awesome.
That's a success. Talk about successful dudes.
The Maloofs are they're just down to earth.
He's
easygoing.
Humble, humility.
Yeah, they're amazing.
He just did us a huge favor by coming on, but yet somehow he made us feel like, you know,
he's that guy.
Thanks for having him.
thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, they're just good dudes. They always have been.
They're just sitting with them and. They say, you know, we just love the energy. We're into it. Gavin knows the most about hockey, but, you know, George was asking me questions. He's like, I want to know about the penalties. You know, it seems like there are all kinds of combinations of penalties.
Just to learn, to go back and learn all about this game from square one as an owner would be just the greatest thing in the
world. As an owner. I mean, you can't even imagine that. It's just been awesome to know Joe and his brothers and Adrian, they're the highest quality people. I really, I feel very, very blessed to know them. I came to know them through, my good friend, Paul Nassif. And, you know, I've just, kind of remained in contact with them because of the, you know, really Joe just wound up contacting me really about hockey. He just knew I'd loved it.
He likes you too, man. He came here, he rolled in his Golden Knights jersey. He sat down, you know,
he's the man.
He could have just popped in for his own interview. We sat here for the whole thing. It's great.
He's great.
What we got next?
All right. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about, I do want to go over this fight. Christian Follin of the Kings and Matt Martin of the Leafs went at it.
Matt Martin's my boy. Tough kid.
And Follin stops him at the line. And now Martin going to the defense of Marner as he drops the gloves with Christian Follin. And this is not Follin's territory.
That was a draw.
He slugged him a few times, and then I think it was a draw. I think more interesting was the was Miller of the Bruins and Derek Dorsett from the Canucks.
McAvoy. Well, here we go. Derek Dorsett and Kevin Miller. Dorsett playing in his 101st NHL game, and in his 103rd NHL fight, he does this for a purpose. Kevin Miller trying to pick his spots. Dorsett's trademark style is the jackhammer. Tries to get 20 punches in 30 seconds. You can see Kevin Miller loading up. A couple of damaging blows. Dorsett is stunned. And Kevin Miller puts it down.
Miller won this one totally unexpectedly. I don't know how that was just a romp.
Any given Sunday. Yeah. Any given Sunday.
More importantly, I do want to talk about Bieksa and Gudas fight in Philadelphia.
It was a one-puncher.
Shot, and it goes high and wide and all the way out to center. Out of the box are Gudas and Bieksa.
Here they go.
And there they go. Kind of expected this. And so the two number threes will go at it. And Bieksa got an immediate right in, and Gudas went down. He seems to be getting back up and okay, but the linesmen are
quickly in on that one. It didn't last very long. I'm not sure that was probably satisfactory for Radko. I might revisit it.
Superman punch.
Yeah.
And it was total. The thing about this fight. Okay. So you said it. I don't mind the fighting.
You love it.
I don't mind it.
You don't mind. You don't not mind it. You love it.
I'm a physician. I believe that.
You're a doctor that loves watching guys beat each other up.
I don't love it. I think it's part of the game.
It is part of the game. I agree.
It's part of the game. Just
it'll never go away.
No, it's part of the deal.
Right.
But this fight gives me it worries me because Bieksa hit this guy. He hit his lights out.
So even for you, that fight bothered you.
It bothered
me. Even for somebody with your bloodlust. Even for somebody with a bloodlust like you, Jay, that one was like uncomfortable to watch.
Do we have to have training for these guys so that they know how to fight? I mean, I would.
Well, I mean, every once in a while, you see a fight where you go, whoa, it's not fun to watch.
Gudis left his he had no guard up. It was like an amateur fight, and right. You know he's supposed to be one of the attack dogs.
Listen, a lot of that happens though. A lot of the tough guys, you know, with the exception of a few. I mean, it happens to people. You know, they get caught with that one punch, and but that was ugly.
Well, we'll see how it goes next week when they get back home. To continue on the theme of the Ducks, Patrick Eaves of the Anaheim Ducks was in the ICU at Hoag Hospital, right by my house, diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease where your own body attacks the nervous system. It's like lupus for the nerves.
Jesus.
And they said, oh, he's expected to make full recovery and all that. And I pray that that's true, but the stats don't say that. So I'm very concerned for him. One of the biggest concerns I have, and this is no offense to Hoag Hospital, but if I was sitting in the Hoag Hospital with Guillain-Barré syndrome, I'd be on a plane to Mayo Clinic, to UT Southwest, to UCLA. I'd be going someplace where there's an expert in Guillain-Barré. Maybe there's one in Newport that I don't know about, but I'm very concerned for Patrick Eaves.
You know what's weird, and I actually say this with all seriousness. I know we joke around, but you know, since we started doing this, I feel like I've never heard of any of these things.
And isn't it amazing? Like this is, I mean, I guess it's because I'm looking, hockey players.
But like we're looking closely at it now because I'm here with you, and actually, you put names to the stuff. I've just never even heard of Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yeah, these are problems that hit human beings.
That sounds like a real thing.
It is a very real thing, and we pray for Patrick Eaves and wish he and his family the best. I just feel like he needs an expert, and maybe there is.
Like if that was your brother, you would have said, "Get on a plane and get out of there right now."
I would completely, you know, Dr. Hockey this one and go find exactly who the world expert is.
But wouldn't somebody surely he's got somebody telling him that, right? Or,
I mean, that's one of the things that I know about medicine is that until you look closely. And by the way, we have more data on these hockey players than we have on any doctors. We have more information about the performance of a hockey player. I mean, I can sit here and tell you I do 200 rhinoplasties a year, which I do, and I know that because I'm a stats man. I follow my statistics. But another guy could walk in here and sit down and say, yeah, I do 200 too. But if you then go to the surgery center logs and his hospital logs, maybe he does 70. And he feels like he does 200 right. Because there's no statistic.
Right.
And so who's the expert on Guillain-Barré syndrome? Is it the local neurologist in Newport Beach, or is it somebody that's at the Mayo Clinic who's gotten $17 million in NIH grants, which can also be deceiving? Just because a guy's gotten $17 million in NIH grants doesn't know he knows anything about treating Guillain-Barré syndrome. So then you have to say to yourself, well, who's the guy that's treating this the most?
Right.
Not the guy that's got all the research money. Who's the real
expert? Right.
And that is where our medical system really falls short, is the data sucks. It sucks bad.
Or it's misleading.
It's non-existent. It's in 17 different data houses that don't talk to each other that have, you know, 12% of the story. So Patrick Eaves,
that's really interesting, Jay.
Get thee to
I would not have thought that, but that makes sense.
It's something
like who's tracking the doctors ultimately, right? Unless something bad happens, who's to crown somebody the expert?
Who knows? I always say it's on my website. Let the results speak for themselves. And that's what you have to look for. You need to find a guy that can create the results. And just because a guy does a lot of something doesn't mean that they're good at it. You know,
that's true.
You know, Anyway, Patrick Eaves, we wish him the best. Cam Fowler is out 4 to 6 weeks with a knee injury. I mean, this team is like riddled with injury. Getzlaff came back last night. Hampus Lindholm came last night. No sign of Ryan Kesler. Not sure we're going to see him. And of course, the LA Kings with a disaster injury.
Oh boy,
Jeff Carter. Have we not been praying to the altar of Jeff Carter for the Kings?
He's clutch. He's the guy. He's the guy that's going to get your big goal. And then they signed Brooks Leach, right? Formerly the Washington Capitals.
That's right. Well, I mean, I'm very
good for
bummed.
Him.
I'm bummed without Carter for the Kings. That's a big
and is
problem.
It is it does this mean that he's this could be long term? Is he done for the year?
Trade deadline maybe.
As long get him healthy for the playoffs.
Let's hope so. Let's wish him well. The Hurricanes activated Trevor Van Riemsdyk from the injured reserve. So weekend games coming up to watch. Got the Devils, Senators. Just love watching Carlson. The Devils are doing great. Predators, Blackhawks. You know, a rematch from the first round of the playoffs last year. Flyers, Maple Leafs. I think it's going to be a sick game because the Flyers are playing really well.
So the Maple Leafs.
The Leafs are on fire.
They're incredible.
On fire. And then Saturday night, it's Oilers Capitals. So that's going to be a good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So I think, I was really happy. We want to thank Joe Maloof again for coming in.
What a guy.
This was a great.
Yeah, it was fun.
We're lucky dudes. We're happy that he could come. And we really thank him and wish the Vegas Golden Knights great luck in the season.
They're in good hands.
Playoffs?
They're in good hands.
What do you think?
I'm going to, and there's nothing, I'm not even talking about the Golden Knights in general, but just to your point earlier, there's nothing to talk about at the 10-game mark. I agree with your brother on that. I what does it even matter?
All right, well.
Unless you're 0-10.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there is a team, by the way.
Who is that?
Unfortunately, the Coyotes. We had such promise for them. We talked all about them, all the moves they made. My heart goes out to them.
It's tough.
It does. It's very tough. They look discouraged. You know, they had a video of Rick Tocchet, you know, trying to get everybody fired up, and he's the guy to do it. He connects with players, and
they respect him. You know, they respect him.
And you know,
he's been through it all.
They have not won a game.
And they did lose to the Islanders. They lost to the Islanders. Tavares dropped his hat trick on the Coyotes.
Brutal.
It was fun to watch.
Well, Kevin, thank you again. It was a great, great
my pleasure
to chat. And this is Dr. Hockey signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Friday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the time we spent with Joe Maloof, owner of the Vegas Golden Knights. I do want to tip our cap, of course, to our sponsor, TrueCar. When you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times, this isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. This is a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar certified dealer network. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. And you'll work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer contact. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. Once you register, you'll see a real price on actual inventory. This is competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before going to a dealership so you can feel confident when you show up. So when you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Hey, everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts, John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA. I promise you've never, ever heard a show like this. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at podcastone.com.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all the delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.